Todd, I am not the regular speaker. First of all, I want to say welcome to all of our guests. Any first-time folks here, glad to have you here. I am not the regular speaker. I always say if you like the message today, keep coming back. You never know when I'll speak, but please absolutely come back to hear Pastor Wes when he's back in the pulpit, because he is a great preacher, great teacher. Amen. I also, as those of you who have been here recently might get sick of me saying I have a lazy eye, but I have a lazy eye. It's my left one. It often, especially when I'm tired, can look over that way when I may be looking this way, but by no means am I really trying to. I mean, there are times when I make eye contact, but it's not really on purpose. So I may or may not be looking at you. Let's do our Bible declaration. And you gotta help me today, okay? I mean, I feel like it is just kind of, I can feel the quietness in this place today. And it shouldn't be that way. So are you ready?
Yes.
Are you excited?
Yes.
Are you just can't wait to hear what God has to say and what God wants to do?
Amen.
Amen. Please say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I'll be taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. And let's go. So the title, and I struggled a little bit, and I thought, well, you know what? I think this is perfect for the title. But the title of today's message is Hallelujah, Praise the Lord. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That is awesome. Keep that up. Keep that in mind. So, you know, it's a very unique opportunity to be able to speak here. When April and the kids and I came here 25 years ago, never would have believed that that I would have the opportunity to speak in front of the church. My jobs when we came was to help set up the sanctuary, hang up signs, set signs out on the roadway to greet, usher, things like that. Never would I ever have believed at that time that I would be standing before you, especially not 25 years later, because as I've said before, I made an 18-month commitment. So it really is an honor and a privilege for me to be here and to do this, and I really don't take it lightly at all. As the last few weeks, the Lord has been very, very faithful to, as I said a couple weeks ago, you know, or last week, to just put something in my knower to be able to speak. And as I was talking with him, preparing for today, one of the things that really he really impressed on me was that I get to share things that made a big impact in my life. And I'll say I've only really been a Christian, really only been in the Lord for 28 years, but there was the first few years were just so so important to build a good foundation. And I had a knowledge. I grew up in the church. I thank my parents for that. But it really was knowledge alone. It really, you know, Jesus was not in my heart. I really didn't know that I needed to accept Christ to be my Lord and Savior. But I did have understanding of, you know, of biblical principles, and I'd been to church, you know, all through my childhood. So today is just one of those. As I was thinking about that, what are some of the things that have made such a huge impact in my life as a Christian, and it really was learning about praise and worship. So our scripture today that we're going to use is Psalm 150, which is my favorite psalm. In fact, it's so much of my favorite that I have it tattooed on my body. which I never thought growing up I'd have a tattoo, and actually had promised my dad, who's watching, that I never would get a tattoo. But I did, and when I was in the hospital recovering from a heart attack, and he was in the recovery room, and it was pretty obvious with a gown on that I had a tattoo, but I had to tell him and apologize for getting a tattoo, because I had, up to that point, I'd been trying to hide it from him. And he didn't really care, because he was just glad that after my heart attack that I was going to be okay. So are you at Psalm 150? All right, and I'm going to clear the tears from my eyes so I can actually read. And I'm reading out of the New International Version. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with a crash of cymbals. You can see how it gets me, maybe. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this message today, God, will come through just the way you want it to come through. Father, I thank you that we can come to this place to praise you. I thank you that we can praise you in private. God, I thank you for the power, Lord, that you release during our praise, God, and during our worship. Father, I pray that you would, God, just help me to deliver your word the way you want it delivered, God. Let it, those listening, God, to receive it the way you want them to receive it. Father, as you were able to make a change in me through this scripture, God, I pray that you would make a change in others as well. Father, when we respond to your word today, God, I thank you for the freedom in this place to praise and worship you. God, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen. So as I said earlier, I grew up in the church. I grew up in at least in the years that I could really remember, from 3 until about 16 in a Reformed church. And for those of you who have heard me, I've shared before, in my high school years, I was part of a group from our church called Crossroads. And Crossroads was essentially our youth group. We sang. We traveled from Reformed Church to Reformed Church. Almost every Sunday evening, we would do a concert at a different church. And then on our spring breaks, we actually owned a Greyhound type bus, but it was a silver. We called it the Silver Pickle, and it was an old Greyhound bus. And spring break, we would take off for spring break, and we would travel different parts of the country and do multiple concerts per day in different churches and different halls and things like that. And I did that for three or four years in high school, and until I really fell away big time. I mean, almost like on running away and going towards a life of destruction at that time. But I did that, and God was so faithful. We weren't really taught about worship. We were really kind of performing. But even through those performances, I remember very distinctly feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit as we were singing, not knowing that it was the Holy Spirit. You know, I absolutely knew that there was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but really didn't know what that meant. And again, I remember feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit while I would sing. I remember coming to tears as I would sing, not really knowing why. And it wasn't until later in my life that I learned. One thing that my mother, and I've shared this, I know, before too, but at one point my mother decided that she needed to seek more. She was having experiences with God and with the Holy Spirit and wanted to seek more. A lot of our church in the Sunday evenings would go to First Assembly, and First Assembly of God was having revivals. And, you know, this is back in the early 80s that a lot of them would go there. And I even remember my mom saying, I saw our choir director there tonight. And so there was just a lot of people that were seeking. And what does the Bible say about seeking? When I seek, I will find. And my mom found. And she switched from the Reformed Church to becoming a charismatic Pentecostal. And yeah, I heard a woo, but me growing up in the Reformed Church, it was so contradictory to what I knew. It just seemed so strange to me. I mean, I think of it, and I don't want to say anything. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying it was the way it was, right? But I actually remember one time we were in Louisiana with Crossroads, singing in Baton Rouge, and at the end of our first song, people clapped and raised their hands, and I thought, man, this is weird. This is just so, you know, I'm so used to we'd sing our hearts out, and there was total silence at the end, that's just what I was used to. It was kind of the reverence. It just seemed so, it was just so odd for people to seem excited about the worship. Getting back to my mom, visiting with her and her church, kind of the same thing. I mean, people were clapping their hands and raising their hands and seemed to be having so much fun, and it just seemed at the time, again, to be really, you know, in my mind, irreverent to the Lord. This is great that my iPad froze up. Pastor, I understand what you go through now. My paper that I print out never freezes up, but my printer quit working, so I learned to use my iPad. Gosh, I remember once in a church service with my mom, and I was watching people, and this woman in front of me while she was worshiping, and her hand was like this, and I was thinking, does God make her hand and her arm go like that? You know, I honestly had no idea. It just seemed really strange to me. But here I am today. I heard a message again about 28 years ago, and that message has changed my life. It was going through the scripture, showing in the scripture what you know biblical worship really is, and how the Bible really instructs us to worship. I'm sure I'd heard it, but I honestly didn't know it, and it made sense. It hit home, and that was a big introduction to say, here we go. So now I want to just break down some of the scriptures and break down the scripture to show what it says. So in verse 1 it says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, and praise which is pronounced, I said this a couple weeks ago too. I'm leaving the Hebrew pronunciation to Pastor Wes, right? I'm growing by looking up the definitions, but I am not going to be. Don't ever tell God you're not going to do something, right? So, is praise. And it's to praise, it's to give thanks, cheer, extol, to be praised, be worthy of praise, be of renown, to make one's boast, or to make one's boast in, like boasting in the name of God. The word Lord is pronounced, yeah, sorry, and what it means is Lord, but really what it means is Yahweh, right? The Lord, and the Lord himself. When you put those two together, it says hallelujah. So anytime that we yell or shout or sing hallelujah, we're saying praise God, praise the Lord. Because I had, until I heard that message, I had no idea that when we said hallelujah, we were really, I mean, I knew it was, you know, it's meant to say praise the Lord, but I didn't know we were actually saying praise the Lord. Still in verse 1, God. I'm done with trying my Hebrew pronunciations now too. But God is God, the Mighty One. It's a title of majesty and power, and often used in combination with other titles when people would say, you know, the God of this or the God of that, when they're not talking about God, our God. Sanctuary is a holy or sacred thing, holy or sacred place or sanctuary. Holiness set apart is dedicated to God, like the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is the most holy place, and you know we can go to the Holy of Holies now, where back in the day the Holy of Holies was a place at the temple, but when the temple veil was torn when Jesus died, it made an opportunity for all of us to be able to go to the Holy of Holies, and not just priests of the day. Mighty is strength or power or might or stronghold. Pastor's been speaking on strongholds. And gosh, don't we want that kind of mighty stronghold to be in our lives, right? Is a stronghold of praise. It's fortification or strengthening. Could be strong-willed or stubborn. Again, a good stronghold. Heavens is the expanse above the earth. It's the sky or heaven, and all the visible objects that are encamped about it, with the clouds, planets, etc., stars. Verse 2, it says, praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. And I gave the first definition I gave for praise. Every time it says praise, it's the same word over and over again. But power is really power, strength, might, or achievement. Surpassing is greatness, abundance, multitude, many, great or numerous, or all. Surpassing is all greatness, many great. Greatness is really greatness or majesty, strength, pride, or even arrogance, but it's a good arrogance. Verse 3, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre. Sounding is like the blast of a trumpet. It's loud. It's not, oh, we're going to praise him. We're going to praise him. I got to be careful not to blow eardrums out, but it's not meant to, you know, when we worship, we want to worship. Again, worship and reverence, it's different than praise, but when we're praising, praise is, it's the shout. It's like it's a battle cry. Trumpet. Trumpet is a trumpet. Also a ram's horn, which another Hebrew word that I didn't write up here, but I know it from a long time ago, is the shofar. And I remember folks, and I'm not suggesting nor asking, but that you do this, but we have experienced in the past where people would bring a shofar into church. But I also know that back in when the scripture was written, that they didn't have the kind of trumpets that we have today. They had ram's horns that they used for shofars. And that's actually kind of, sometime that might be kind of a fun Bible study, a whole teaching about, you know, like the instruments of the Bible times. But because there is some neat stuff. But if, and just on a side note, if you've ever smelled a ram's horn rotting out, the you know, horns are living things, and when you cut the horn off and you're preparing it to become the shofar that you're going to use to usher in the presence of God, it has to rot all that living tissue out, and it smells horrible. But so I will tell you, I will never be bringing a shofar. Oh, gosh. Never mind. Never mind. Yeah, that's it. I'll be driving home today, and God will be like, you know, you said you'd never do this. I'm going to. No. We'll see. I'm hoping that I have the heart of God on that one. So that's the trumpet. Harp, a stringed instrument. Harp, lyre, lute, zither. And that's another one. Again, I and maybe I'm talking myself, this might be part one. This might be something to, you know, to carry forward if I ever have the chance again. But it was kind of neat to go online and look up the different instruments and see what they look like. And it was really neat. Some of them, and I didn't have time to really make the notes, and I was thinking about copying the pictures and having to go up there and stuff. But some of the very early instruments so resembled guitars. And one of them really resembled a keytar. If you know what a keytar is, it's a keyboard that looks like a guitar when you see people playing and they've got the keys set up. But it had strings on it, but it seriously looked like a keytar. It was really cool. But again, that may be for a future one. Again, in verse 3, the lyre is it's a lyre, harp, or a stringed instrument. Verse 4, it says, praise him with a timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. So a timbrel is really a tambourine. And tambourines of the day looked an awful lot like the tambourines of today. So tambourines of the day look like tambourines of the day. And I'm just going to do a commercial break and say, Neil, I really appreciate the way you play the tambourine. It's very, very fitting, and I've experienced tambourines that may not necessarily be that fitting. And I'm not leaving out Leslie either, because Leslie, you also can keep a good beat and play it. But you know, in the end, it really is about your heart, and it's a heart of worship, and it's using an instrument to worship the Lord. But when you're using an instrument to worship the Lord, it really should not distract everyone else in the sanctuary, right? In your private, in your place, in your closet, if you're worshiping with whatever you have to worship with, go for it. But the only reason why I say, and now you're all getting quiet again, and you're looking at me like, who is this guy, and how dare he say these things to me? But so just a music lesson while we're talking about music. So as the drummer, it's my job to keep us on beat, to keep all of us on beat as we're praising and worshiping. That's like my sole job, is to keep us on beat. It's when I go through a fill, I end at the end of a measure, and I start over at the beginning of the first measure. And when in my ear I'm hearing somebody that's off beat, it's really hard for me to do my job. So please smile. Please say, we love you, Gary, right? Sorry. But yeah, I love the tambourine. I play the tambourine, but I'll be honest, when I am playing percussion, and I love to play percussion too when I'm not on the drum set, but when Neela or Leslie have their tambourine, I don't want to play the tambourine. I have other instruments that I can play. But it's so cool to add all of the different instruments together. Dancing. This is one where again I had to kind of ask for some repentance about some judgment that I may have cast. But dancing really translates to circle dancing or round dancing, but it also is dancing and just to dance. But really, the initial translation really is circle dancing or round dancing. And I'll tell you what, if the Spirit of God is moving you to circle dance, let the Spirit of God move you to circle dance, okay? I know, I remember sometimes when Pastor Wes would just start to dance. And when Pastor Wes starts to dance, it just becomes contagious, right? And others can dance. And I know Pastor Wes has said the same thing at Central Assembly. When Pastor Brown would start to dance, right, the whole place would just come alive. People would just come alive and dance. And you know, yeah, amen. You know, and ask yourself right now, God, can you make me dance before you? You know, let the chains fall from our legs so that we can dance before him. How many of you believe that would be one of the greatest miracles that you receive next to salvation, if God would let you dance? Not very many people. Really? Good. That means I expect to see lots of people dancing here soon. Strings. It's the music of stringed instruments. Music of strings or strings. Pipe is a flute. Where are you? Probably in the nursery. Flute, pipe, or pipes? Wow, I'll tell you, we had a flutist that was part of our praise team, and how amazing was it to have that flutist? That's where I'm going to take a break and say, I went for many, many years without playing the drums until I started playing the drums again to play to worship God. So any of these instruments that I talk about, if it's been a long time since you've done any of these things, it's not too late. It just is not too late. Try to get through this without... This part's pretty easy on verse 5 now, where it wasn't when I was just trying to read it in the first place. But praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with a resounding cymbals. And clash just means to clash. And cymbals just means cymbals. And I was really glad that it wasn't going to say, you know, these hammered out brass things, because ours are rubber, right? And I'll tell you, it is a lot easier to resound with those. Actually, we resound so much that nobody could hear or think in this place. So we had to switch to digital and rubber, and it really makes the same sound, and it's just a little bit different. But it's harder to resound on the rubber coated cymbals. But that's really a good thing. And then in verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Everything is all or everyone or everything in totality of a mass or collective. Every, any, and a particular of the totality. So for us, it's us. It's all of us. Right? Let everything that has breath, while we're here together in this place, it's us. Let all of us. You know, you may say, you know what, worship, praise and worship, really not really my thing. I really love the word, which you should really love the word. But we can learn to praise and worship. I also know that there are different styles of praise and worship. And as I said earlier, I know my dad's here, and my dad loves hymns and quartets and choirs, and there's nothing wrong. I love all those things too. Nothing, you know, it's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Our style here is different than that. It's as once I shouldn't. You guys want to maybe laugh? We had a gal come in to visit, and after she got done, she goes, yeah, she goes, good, really good preacher, he says, but you know those, you know, it's just like the other churches, it's those 7-11 songs. I said, 7-11? She says, yeah, you sing seven words 11 times. Oh, good, I'm glad it made you laugh. Well, for me personally, that helps me. It helps me learn the songs really quickly and get them into me so that I can close my eyes and really tuck away and worship. But I still, when I go to a place where they sing hymns, and I still feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, right? It's all about our hearts. It's not about our mouths, it's not about our minds. It is about our minds making sure that we're in a place that we can worship, right? We set everything aside. We come here to worship. When those things start to try to come into our minds, we take them and we hold them away. We push them away and we say, we are here to worship. I am here to worship. And breath is breath or blast of breath, or really life or life force or the spirit. So now we have the newly inspired Gary version of Psalm 150. And that newly inspired version reads like this: Hallelujah, praise, give thanks, cheer, extol and boast of the Lord Yahweh, who is the Lord himself. Praise God, the mighty one, in his sanctuary, which is a holy, sacred place. Praise him in his mighty or full of strength, power, and might in the heavens, which is the expanse or the space above the earth that holds visible objects such as the clouds, planets, and stars. Praise him for his many acts of power, strength, might, and achievement. Praise him for his surpassing greatness, abundance, majesty, and strength. Praise him with a blast of the trumpet or trumpets. Praise him with a stringed instruments, which in our case is guitars, the bass, but also the piano and the keyboard, which mimics the piano. That's kind of a good place to laugh, but the piano is a stringed instrument. If you look underneath the hood there, it's all strings. Praise him with the music of a tambourine and dancing, which could be circle or round dancing, but the main thing is to dance. Praise him with the music of stringed instruments, a flute, and other pipes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals, which could resemble loud shouts like trumpet blasts, and to give the impression we are going to battle. Let everyone, not just some, but all of us, collectively, everything that has breath, which means is alive, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And praise team, now for our altar call, we get an opportunity to live out Psalm 150. Let's take the time and praise. If you've never praised before, praise like you've never praised before.